reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistles from the letter to the Hebrews. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them in their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. They said to him, Where will you have us prepare it? He said to them, Behold, when you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you
and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says, Do this in remembrance of me. Now, I think most Lutherans tend to shy away from that phrase because the not Lutheran portion of the Reformation kind of claimed it as this being a memorial meal. And so that remembrance became yoked to something of a real absence, just bread and wine, not the body and blood. But remembrance in the ancient world was not just a simple mental exercise. Remembrance was first a deeply physical thing. The Romans remembered their ancestors with literal masks of their faces, their imago. The Jewish Passover meal that Jesus was celebrating was a living remembrance of the meal on the night that the Lord had brought them out of bondage by the blood of the Lamb. The call to remember is the call to make it real. In this case, to make Christ in our midst real. But I think we are too often the children of the Enlightenment to engage in such a remembrance. It's partly why I use that much longer confessional address on this night. I want to create a chain of memory for a second. The American founders, at the end of this perfect Enlightenment document, the Declaration of Independence, add the phrase that makes it real. We pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Their heart and soul was in that endeavor. It was not something that they were LARPing. So much of what we do can feel like a LARP, a live-action role play. But to actually have a confession, to listen to what we did there and say, that is mine, yes, I believe it, is exactly the opposite of LARPing. To have a confession is to commit the spirit, to commit the self. And that's what that confessional address is asking. That Christ has fully revealed himself. He's given himself to you. His body broken as a pledge of the new creation. His blood shed as our Passover lamb. Tonight, the Lord brings us out of our bondage to sin and death. Tonight, we remember. And part of that remembrance that I think Luke is great at is remembering the heart of Christ himself. Because we can often just try to reduce Jesus to some above-it-all guru or some bloodless teacher. But this is at the start of his passion, his suffering, his revealing of how much he loves you. And there are two pictures of that I want to ponder. The first is one I think we might miss. Luke tells us in those verses 1-6, and something that strikes me that has to be a remembrance of one of Luke's sources, that Satan had already entered Judas, and Judas had already conferred with the chief priests and received those 30 pieces of silver, and was thinking about how he could betray Jesus. And he was actively looking for the opportunity to do so without a crowd. A meal with a limited group in an upper room would be just such a time. So Jesus, in order to have this Passover meal, has to engage in a little subterfuge. He calls Peter and John privately and sends them to find the mystery man with the jar of water and to follow him. And he works around Judas and Satan so that he might eat the Passover meal with my disciples. The second picture is his statement at the beginning of that meal. The traditional Passover, I'm told, has four cups. I'm not a Passover meal expert, but the first one is the thanks, the Eucharist, at the beginning of the meal. And over that cup, Jesus reveals his heart. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And that earnestly desired captures something of a Hebrew intensification. It's a form of the same word twice. With desire, I desire. Earnestly desire isn't a terrible translation. But again, we're such a bloodless generation. We drain desire from everything. The word for desire here is on fire. The soul of Jesus is committed to this. The soul of Jesus is committed to giving himself to us. We will see the sacrifice of the missing Passover lamb in the hours that play out next. None of the accounts mention that Passover lamb at all, because Jesus is it. Like Isaac asking Abram, where is the sacrifice? It's provided by God. And this is what the soul of Jesus desired to do. Make this available to all. That as we remember, we also might have Christ. He will not eat or drink of it until it is fulfilled, because he's giving himself to us. This is my body given for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. We do this in remembrance, because this is the very heart of Jesus. That you might have him and be saved from sin and death. That you might be brought out of bondage to Satan tonight. Because that angel of death cannot cross those marked by the blood of Christ. If you think we're LARPing, don't come up. Because this is food for your soul. If you take it as only bread and wine, our flesh just can't carry it. But in faith, this is Christ himself. This is that new covenant put within and written on our hearts. This is knowing the Lord. From the least to the greatest. This is your sins remembered no more. That's what Jesus desired to give us. That's what you seek. Come. Come eat. Come drink. And remember. for we are all members of one body. The body of Christ, which is formed right here at this altar. And then let us hold fast to that confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He's promised in this meal to be our Passover lamb. And all who eat and drink of this meal, death will pass over. All who eat and drink will one day not have to remember, because we have our invitation to the wedding feast, when Christ himself will eat and drink again, when it's all been fulfilled, and we're seated at a much bigger table. Tonight, we remember that great heart that desired to give us this gift, the desire to give us himself, which prepares us for eternity. Amen.